Morning, church. This morning we're reading from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 7. That's Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 7. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring their gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. Arise and shine, for thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Remember hearing an old Presbyterian minister once preaching about this precious verse, and I'll never forget how with such strength and confidence he said this. He said, Isaiah's prophecy, just like the old, put a Scottish accent on there and you'll get it. And he said, Isaiah's prophecy in the 60th, verse 1 is all about Israel's future, the hope and glory of Israel. It is a promise, he said, that contains perpetual comfort for all the Israel of God. And those who attend our Bible College will appreciate the significance of that last phrase. For all the Israel of God, including the spiritual Israel of the church of God's choosing, God's chosen, the elect from every nation. This is a promise that is often comforted, encouraged, uplifted, and guided the people of God through the most distressing and difficult of times, teaching them to wait upon their God. It is a call to come before God and call upon his name. And by faith in his word, we should expect that our God will break through the clouds that hide the sunlight, S-O-N, light, that hides the sunlight from you in your situation where you are, that hides the sunlight from us collectively as a local church, craving for that precious revival that we yearn for. And that hides the sunlight from our nation, which is drifting into darkness and confusion as we look around week after week. And it is by faith in the word of God and in the expectation that comes through that word that God will break through and that he will herald a dawn of a bright day. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The background to this incredibly brilliant verse of light is a background of deep darkness. When you look at the Bible refers to different kinds of darknesses. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, you'll see that in the beginning, God created the earth, and he created the heavens, and the earth was without form, and the waters covered the deep. And as the earth was being created, in the process of its creation, we read, darkness covered the earth. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There is a physical darkness that the Bible talks about. There's also a darkness of intervention. You go to Exodus chapter 9, you hear the story, and we read the story of how even if we go before the story of the Exodus chapter 10, should I say, verse 20, we hear that there's a darkness that is a plague of darkness. It's a warning. There's a darkness that comes as a warning to mankind. The plague of darkness that fell upon the Egyptians, that ninth plague that came, was a warning to the Egyptians. This is the darkness that you are embracing. This is the darkness that is coming upon you unless you repent, unless you hear my voice, unless you obey me and let my people go. And we find in that verse that the people for 3 days were under such darkness, the Egyptians were under such darkness, they couldn't even see where they had to go. They had to feel the walls. The darkness was imposing. It was almost touchable, the darkness of the plague. It was a darkness of warning. There's a physical darkness, but sometimes a darkness comes and it's a warning to the people. At the same time that darkness had fallen on the Egyptians, we read that there was light in the houses of the people of God. Well, not long after that, we find that there is another darkness that comes. It is a darkness of intervention. In Exodus 14, as the people of God are escaping across the Red Sea, and as they cross over, and as the waters are high on each side, and as they race for their lives, the Egyptian army and the chariots of Pharaoh are chasing them down, determined to chase them down. And the cloud that is leading the Israelites out of Egypt comes back over Egypt, over Israel, and comes and settles between the army of Egypt and the escaping Hebrews. And we are told that a darkness comes over the army, a darkness of intervention, a darkness that confuses them, and they're going in circles. They don't know where they're going. They can't see anymore. And meanwhile, Israel is escaping through the Red Sea. And the Israelis, I suppose you could call them Exodus, is going across in light. And the intervention of God has come upon the Pharaoh's army in darkness. Reminds me a little bit of Dunkirk, doesn't it? If you read the stories of Dunkirk, the people were praying in the churches here in London, all around the country. They were praying and they were asking God to deliver the army that was caught and had their backs to the water, and they were going to be crushed by the Axis, by the German military. They were in such danger, and they were in danger of being totally wiped out. And people began to pray, and there was a kind of break over the sea as little boats, hundreds and thousands, or probably hundreds, many hundreds of boats, little boats went across the channel to pick up the army. And at the same time, it was raining over the army of the Nazi military. And it was very, very hard for them to keep up their attack. It was a little bit like that, but it was even more. There's a darkness of intervention that comes when God intervenes. There's a physical darkness, there's a darkness of judgment, there's a darkness of intervention. Then we see another darkness. I call it the darkness that comes with the crucifixion. We read in the Gospels that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, as Jesus was suffering, and as he was taking the sin of the world upon himself, and as his blood was pouring out for us, and as he took my sins and your sins and my sins upon the cross, darkness covered the earth for 3 hours until he died. The darkness of crucifixion. And sometimes we feel that darkness. Sometimes we seek to serve the Lord. Sometimes we seek to walk and do the right things and to go where God leads us. And sometimes crucifixion comes upon us, oppression and heartache and brokenness, out of a sense of trying to serve God. A kind of persecution comes upon the Christian. We've seen it in Syria. We've seen it all around the world, an increasing persecution of the Christian church. And there's a darkness that comes, the darkness of Calvary. But probably the most frightening darkness, the darkness that is probably the most overwhelming of all, is the spiritual darkness that comes upon mankind. We see it in Isaiah 59. It is the backdrop to this glorious verse in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. It is a backdrop that demonstrates the darkness of man and their rebellion against God. It starts off in the early verses of Isaiah 59 and 1 and 2 of having men are having their hands covered in blood, the blood of sinfulness, the blood of iniquity, defiled with blood. And it goes on to describe their fingers are filled with iniquity. Another word for that is sin. Their hands and their fingers are holding on to sin, are grasping on to sin. And that brings a darkness. And sometimes we don't even know it, but we're clinging on to sin. We're clinging on to things that are wrong. We're clinging on to things that are hurting us. And our fingers are covered in sin. And then our lips speak lies. Our lips speak lies. And I think more than ever today, we're seeing people emboldened by telling lies. It's almost like, if you can tell a really good lie, it's cool. We hear of fake news everywhere. Newspapers print articles that are not true. And we have to try and discern what is true and what isn't true anymore. We don't know. Even our own newspapers, we don't know what is true anymore. And the lips of the people speak lies. And lies flow easily off the lips of a dark people, a people lost in spiritual darkness. Our tongue, Isaiah 59 says, has muttered perversity. You just have to sometimes switch on the radio and listen to music. And if you get up some sort of channel, modern sort of hip-hop channel, or you get onto a rap channel or anything like that, and you just listen for a second, for a minute, it's just perverse sewage coming out of the singer's mouth or of the artist's mouth. Just utter perversity. Now, I'm not judging. I remember the hymn that says, Lord, perverse and foolish, oft I've strayed. We are all vulnerable to making those mistakes. We are all vulnerable. I'm not judging other people. I'm saying we can all get caught up and we don't even realize it in spiritual darkness. And spiritual darkness is by far the worst kind of darkness. If you carry on and you go on to verse 9, you find that that spiritual darkness gives way to injustice. And it's the same like in the book of Amos. You see, in Isaiah is saying, the spiritual darkness that has come upon my people is a darkness where they run from justice, where justice is far from us. We don't care anymore about the poor. We prayed today for those who may be suffering over this Christmas time. We may be suffering at this time. But we don't really care that much for the starving and the homeless and the broken. And we don't care about justice for them. We don't care because we just on our own track. And spiritual darkness takes over. And darkness takes away the light. And you'll see in that verse, it says, we look for light, but there is just darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. A little bit later on, it says, you have turned the noonday into night. And it's all because of disobedience. It's all because of your complacency with God. It's all because you don't take God seriously anymore. It's all because you've allowed your heart to become lukewarm. It's all because you have become hardened and cold in your heart. And that is the worst place for anyone to be. It is a spiritual darkness, and it's a horrible place to be. And that is the backdrop. And that is where God's people often end up when they rebel and when they're careless and they do silly things and they make silly laws and they slap God in the face without any acknowledgement to God and respecting God. We end up in a dark place, and spiritual darkness clings to us and brings us down and causes us to backslide away from the glory of God. Oh, how dark is Isaiah 59. How dark is that passage, is that chapter that says the people have turned the noon into midnight. They've turned the sun into dark. And you are now walking in blackness and in darkness. But God, in his grace and his mercy, whether there is a physical darkness or a darkness of intervention or a darkness of judgment or a darkness that is a spiritual darkness, God in his grace and his mercy will never leave us there. He will never leave his people there in that place. And in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, we see a brilliant light breakthrough, as if lightning was crashing across the midnight sky, bursting light into the life of God's people like never before. And in verse 1 of chapter 60, he says this. He says, arise, shine, for the light has come. For thy light has come. Your light has come. This is personal. The light that is coming now is your light. It is to you that this light has come. It is to you, my people. It is to you, my individual child. It is to you, the nation that seeks to serve and honor God. The light of God has now come. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 is like a picture of a day. Well, the whole passage of 60 is like a picture of a new day that has dawned. In a sense, this morning was a bit like that. This morning, I thought, as Judy and I were driving in, we were from outside, and we were driving in, and we drove in as the dawn was breaking over this beautiful England through the Surrey Hills. And the dawn rays just began to break through the light. And your heart just says, overwhelmed at God's beauty. And as the dawn came and the clouds, the few clouds that were left were being swept away by the wind, I thought, this is a picture of the servant. Because yesterday was kind of a cloudy day. We never saw the sun at all yesterday. And it got cold and dark and rainy. And yeah, it was nice to keep warm and put on the fire or whatever. But thank God we have homes to be safe in. But it was a dark day. But in the morning came the sun. In the morning came the light. And in the dawn, God's rays broke through the light into the beauty of the day, breaking through the dark clouds that were separating us from God's sunlight. And so too, in Isaiah, God is saying, I am going to break through the clouds that are holding you down. I'm going to break through the clouds that are depressing you, that are hurting you, that are keeping you back. I am going to break through those clouds with the light of my word. I'm going to break through those clouds with a Savior. Isaiah is all about bringing a Savior into the world. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. A Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. This is the light of Isaiah chapter 60. The light, the dawn of a new day, is the birth of a baby into this world who is none other but Christ himself, the Son of the living God. And light breaks through into our darkness. And so not only does the light of a Savior come, and I want to say this to you today. Do you know this light? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Do you know him? Because it is when you know him, it's when you ask him to come into your life, that his light will bring light to your dark heart, will bring light to your dark life, will bring light to your brokenness, but you have to bring the light into your life. He came to die for you. He was born to die on a cross of wood. He came in the manger, and he died on the cross for you, bringing light for you. He rose again that he might bring light into your life. Do you know him? Have you allowed the light of this manger? Have you allowed the light of our Christ to shine in your heart? Have you received him as your Lord and personal Savior? Because if you have not, you might see the light in the distance, but it will not break into your heart. You have got to say, Jesus, come. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And let your light shine in my dark heart. Not only do we see the light of the Word of God, the person of Christ, we see the light, the Word of God, the Word itself. The Word of God is what brings the light. You see it, don't you? Even in the amazing history of the church, God has always kept that light of the Nativity right through the apostolic age, right through the dark ages of medievalism and cold, corrupt Catholicism and the darkness that was surrounding the church. God always kept the light, the faithful preaching of his word, the preaching of a living Christ, being saved and justified by faith. And then came the word, Tyndale, prints the Bible. And the Bible gets into the hands of the people. And what follows is the great Protestant Reformation that changes the history of mankind. A great light has come through the Word of God. And it is the same today. There is confusion in the translations, but slowly the light is coming. The modern translations are being challenged. And now we see the reliable ones coming to the surface. The New King James, the one we use. The ESV is another great one that is emerging. Great Bibles are coming to the fore. And with the proclamation of the accurate Word of God, a new light will come into our age. And then we see the light of the revival glory of God. Because not only is it a dawn, it is a noon. It is a glorious day of God's light falling upon his church. It is the light of Pentecost. It is the light where God's blessing falls on his church and shines from his church, through his church, so brightly and with such joy and with such love for God that our hearts are overwhelmed and tears begin to fall from our eyes when we come to Jesus. And we come back to him and we feel the Holy Spirit of God being poured out upon us. And the noonday of revival visits his people again. And the light gives way because he says, rise, shine in the dawn. Rise and shine, for your light has come. But he also says this. He says, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. And when we realize that through receiving Christ afresh, coming back to Jesus, not taking and messing around with anything, but finding him again, getting back to him and asking him to come back and renew and refresh us in Christ and walking afresh. And when we walk with the word and fall in love with the word of God again and let the light of God's word shine in us and transform our lives, we walk into the noonday of God's revival. And the Holy Spirit of God falls upon us. And we are carried with joy. We are filled with love. And we become the light. We become the light because we are now filled with the light. And we then attract Gentiles to our shores. We then will bring the people, will say, what is it about that church? What is it going on in that sanctuary? What is going on at East Hill Baptist Church? We hear that there is something happening there, and they will come and they will see in you the light because you have opened your heart to the light of God. And just like the fire fell at Pentecost and fell upon each one, so the fire will fall again and fall upon you, and people will see you just like they saw in Moses. They saw his face reflecting the light and the joy of Christ, the joy of the Lord, and they couldn't even look at him. He was so bright. It'll be like that. People will say, wow, can you see the light in that person? And you will bring light. And no matter what the darkness is, when you go out tomorrow, into the darkness is all around. It's a deep darkness, it's a thick darkness. But when the darkness is deepest, when the darkness is thickest, in your workplace, in your home situations, I don't know what's going on and where the darkness is deepest, but this I know, that when the darkness is deepest, that's when the light shines and falls on you. That's exactly what happens. In the deep darkness, the Lord will arise over you and the glory will be seen upon you. Amen? Amen. Let's go and let's shine for Jesus like never before. Let this nativity be a nativity of light and let's shine in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And if there's anyone here who needs or would like to know about knowing Jesus, really knowing him, please come and see me or any one of the leaders or anyone. Say, I want to know this Jesus. Don't leave here without receiving Jesus today. Amen? Come, let's stand, let's sing as we close in worship.